program. This is Mae Brussel, and it's KAZU in Pacific Grove, California. And this is broadcast number 634, January 30th, 1984. This time last week, last year, that's in January of 1983, just a year ago this evening, I was talking about the Lehman family, the Secretary of the Navy, John Lehman, Joseph Lehman, Christopher Lehman, his brothers, the contracts they had with Northrop and Boeing before he was as Secretary of the Navy, John Lehman's role forming a corporation in February of 1977 called Abington, A-B-I-N-G-T-O-N, as an advisor to Northrop and Boeing and selling weapons as a lobbyist for them. And then he becomes Secretary of the Navy and buys the weapons from those companies at huge cost overruns. And Joseph Lehman, very important, was co-owner of Abington, this dummy front that his wife still works with, and people from the family are with. Joseph Lehman has close links to the Vatican and has been very instrumental in trying to stop the Catholic bishops who support the nuclear arms freeze. He works with General Vernon Walters of the Knights of Malta, and Christopher Lehman, employed by Senator John Tower, the next door neighbor of Edwin Wilson in Virginia, a very prominent person in espionage and counterintelligence for the Senate. And Christopher Lehman has been employed by him. And then Richard Pearl, the very conservative fellow that took over in the Pentagon, who worked 10 years for Henry Jackson, Senator Henry Jackson. Richard Pearl worked for Abington, a top employee. They opened up this Abington Corporation in February 77 before he became Secretary of the Navy. Incidentally, I've done other broadcasts on John Lehman and his various activities, his San Pantaloon parties in Washington, D.C., and the allegations of his homosexual relationships, even with people like Senator John Tower. Over in Great Britain, the Abington name is still used. It represents Northrop and Boeing, and it's run by Lord Chalfont, C-H-A-L-F-O-N-T. He paid $60,000 to keep the name. He's in Great Britain, and there isn't enough information out about Lord Chalfont. He really has to be investigated for his role with Lord Peter Carrington and Henry Kissinger. There's a big story in Chalfont, but I don't have access to it, and one of these days I'll get to it. Now, after I did this broadcast and I talked about their role also with Senator Henry Jackson, this last year, Senator Henry Jackson died, and then Henry Kissinger took over the Committee for Central America. When Ronald Reagan gave a speech last week, he referred to the Senator Henry Jackson Committee and didn't say the Kissinger Committee. With Jackson out of the way, it became the Kissinger Committee. He conveniently died the same day, the day after Larry McDonald was deep-sixed over the Pacific Ocean. When I was making out the sheet for this broadcast that accompanies the tape cassette that goes out, and some of you subscribe to the weekly sheets, you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and I give you a bibliography, I put a black dot under the certain names of people that have died in conjunction with what I'm talking about, because so many people have been offed, and I have the allegation in my mind that these death squads that Jack Anderson is writing about have been active in this country for the past 30 years, and whenever we get to stories of primary witnesses, all of a sudden, somewhere down in there, those people have died. And for my own research, when I read articles and I get to the middle of an article and I see that they just casually are discussing one subject and then conveniently the primary witness they're talking about is dead, I take one of these little black dots and color code it to remind me that lost in that article, somebody has died. It's like that teenager, she's written up in the Houston Post and other stories, whose father received the Jimmy Carter paper. She took him to a class in Pennsylvania, that eighth grade student who brought these documents of Carter's administration. And when she brought them to class, the big subject was how did she get these secret documents, the kind of things that Ronald Reagan was receiving to be coached so that he would seem knowledgeable at the time of the Carter debates with Ronald Reagan. And then you read down a little bit in the article, and it tells about Kirsten and how she brought them to the teacher, Kirsten Preble. Then it said, Kirsten said her father, a marketing representative for National Steel Corporation, got the papers while he was staying at the same hotel as President Jimmy Carter. She did not know where the hotel was. The maid came in and put the papers on my father's bed and left. He went over and saw what they were. Preble said her husband died in 1982. Now, the story should be, what did he die from? But the story is really that the child brought the papers to the class. And I find this over and over again, that just as a side note, there was a story just a little while ago when Klaus Barbie was first arrested, an interesting story about a woman wrote to her senator and heard about this top Nazi who was active in South America, and it bothered her that he was protected by the U.S. intelligence, and they gave her credit for opening up the story of Klaus Barbie, the congressional investigation of him, and then it goes on to say that her late husband, her husband died and she's remarried, that they mentioned her name when she had the correspondence. And then all of a sudden this young woman's husband is dead, and the story isn't about the death of the husband or this girl's father. It's about Klaus Barbie, but in the middle of they're dead. Now, in terms of the Lehman Brothers and talking about them last year, and one of them being so active with the Catholic Church, working with the Catholic bishops to put down those priests who supported the nuclear arms freeze. Just this last week in the San Francisco Examiner, there was an obituary. Bishop George Fulcher, F-U-L-C-H-E-R, killed in fiery car crash. Just a small article, January 27th, Rockville, Indiana. Fulcher was a member of the five-bishop committee that drafted the National Conference of Catholic Bishops' pastoral letter on war and peace in 1983. His car went over some way. It was completely demolished, and he was burned beyond recognition. So you couldn't do autopsy if there was food or drug or blown up or whatever. The car turned over, was completely burned. And this was one of the five people that was doing something that the laymans were representing the Vatican and didn't like. Cause and effect, coincidence. When you see just hundreds of these in the course of, say, 2 or 3 months, not hundreds, but maybe 30 of these kinds of deaths, you realize that the Murder Incorporated that Jack Anderson's been talking about, it does in fact exist, and I know it exists. Now, the Rebel is hard to get. Some of you are having trouble getting the Rebel. The issues are marvelous. They're really good. And they're covering this five so far. There's been articles on the CIA terrorists, on the murder of Vicki Morgan, a 2-3-part story on that, on Paul Laxalt and his complicated connections to the mafia, just filled with names. It's marvelous. Story on the mob in Philadelphia, the Greensboro Nazi trial, an agent provocateur named Joe Burton, very important story. The cancer conspiracy inside the Nazi Party USA, 2 articles. Korean Flight 007 that Don Fried did and is working on a book. Representative Edward Deresinski and his link with the CIA and Korea Gate. And the Colonia Dignitat in Chile, a part 2 article. Of course, I did 3 broadcasts and more on Colonia Dignitat. I'm anxious to see where the point leads. The last article was good. There's a lot more I hope is in the next thing. But these are very important. Now, if they aren't available, I don't know what to do. It's $125 a year, which is expensive, and $2.95 a copy. If it's not accessible in your hometowns, I guess eventually I'll have to photocopy certain articles and make them available to you, just like the Hustler went off the stands with the article of the Korean Airline that was important, or the first article I did on the John Kennedy assassination and the Nazi connections. I'll be referring to those over and over again because they're very pertinent today's news. I don't know how to get you to get your local stores to get these articles. You'll have to do that. And then when they're out of print and called back, if they don't keep back copies and sell them, and maybe they will, I don't know that they're bothering with that. They're getting them out so fast. Then we'll have to reprint single articles, and I just don't know what to tell you to do. In the Rebel Volume 2, Number 2, there was an article about Vicki Morgan and the sex tapes. And in that article, Bill Turner wrote, I don't know his source, that Jay Paul, the detective from the Los Angeles Police Department, who worked with the late Larry McDonald, here's the Catholic bishop that's dead, Larry McDonald's dead, Vicki Morgan is dead, murdered, those three, just in context of these articles, he, Joe's Jay Paul, allegedly, in the Rebel, visited by way of LAPD, he had the Vicki Morgan sex tapes. And in had access to them, and Western Goals had those particular tapes that they owned a set. Now, if Western Goals has a set, they would come from Jay Paul, which is he's mentioned in the article, and then go to the officers of Western Goals take them home. And then that goes directly Admiral Moore and Henry Kissinger and so forth. And, of course, I made the allegation when Vicky Morgan was murdered that Richard Vagary and Roy Cohn from Western Goals were celebrating in Washington, D.C., having a big party. And then Henry Kissinger's star began to shine. He became appointed to the Central American Committee. Just at the same time that Larry MacDonald was dead and Henry Jackson was dead, Vicky Morgan was dead, then Kissinger comes out on the sideline and becomes superstar. So there's very good articles in there, and I hope you can get them. I don't know how to supply them to you right now. See if you can get them. Now, Ronald Reagan, in his speech last week, talked about wanting space stations. Daniel Graham, the partner of the notorious Fritz Kramer, wants space stations. He's pushing for them. Today, there was a story in the San Francisco Chronicle. It goes like this. Aero firms await space station details. And this is about the industries, all these wonderful contractors that want their piece of the action and their money. Martin Marietta, the Denver Aerospace, and Fairchild, and so forth. They're anxious. Ronald Reagan is going to put in those space stations. We're broke. The budget, the deficit is out, but he has to have a space station. So in the part of the article in the Chronicle today, there's a quotation. We anticipate there will be quite a bit of spread in the capacity, dividing up the cash, translated, divide up the cash, quoting Emmanuel Sinakis. I'm going to spell it for you in case you're not familiar with my back broadcast. Emmanuel, first name, Fthenakis. He's senior vice president of Fairchild Industries, a company that derives roughly $150 million a year from space-related businesses. Now, just to take you back to Mr. Sinakis, remember the story that Pete Carey did for the San Jose Mercury? Maybe you don't remember it. November 20th, 1981. It was about Otto Albrecht von Bolschwing, Hitler's top agent, Adolf Eichmann's superior. I've referred to him many times. He set up that corporation, TCI, in Sacramento with Helene von Damm. And one of the people in the corporation was Judge Newsom. This was set up by Hitler's top Nazi, who became the Galen representative in Europe when Galen went on to Europe to form the German intelligence. And he set up the worldwide Odessa funding when Galen went over to get the BND started in Europe. Now, when Pete Carey wrote this story about Otto von Bolschwing, he mentioned it. The firm of TCI included Judge Wilson A. Newsom, N-E-W-S-O-M, who recently was identified as a big supporter and if not a funder of the IRA and the violent group over in Ireland. Helene von Damm is in this article. She is now our ambassador to Vienna. She was the secretary for Mr. von Bolschwing and Sinakis. He referred to Reagan as governor at the time the TCI was formed. He's now president of the United States. And one of the people on the board was Emmanuel Sinakis from Fairchild Corporation, senior vice president. And Sinakis is now vice president of Fairchild, senior vice president. Fairchild combined with Schlumberger, that was the double check organization that Guy Bannister worked for when he was working with Lee Harvey Oswald and the World Anti-Communist League. Sinakis is a relative of Aristotle Onassis. He worked for Ford Motor Company. Sinakis, he's a Greek with direct contacts to Onassis when Onassis was alive. Ford Aerospace, Philco Ford, past vice president of ITT. And ITT, of course, was one of the corporations, along with Ford and General Motors, that was behind the complete funding of Adolf Hitler. And at the time the article came out, it said former vice president of Fairchild, he today is the current vice president who will be the recipient of the space station information. Now, this whole operation, this TCI, was a Nazi Galen operation, and their goal was to control space stations for genocide and for slavery up in space to relieve the world of 80% of its population. So that the man anxious to build those space stations, waiting for the cash that Ronald Reagan's going to put in his hands that we don't have with our deficit, is going to the hands, among other people, of Emmanuel Sinakis, who directly, you can't be any closer to the President of the United States, to Helene von Damm, than being Fairchild recipient of those space colony space stations. Now, apropos of that, Tom Davis up in Aptos has 100 copies of the book Alternative 3. That is, firstly, it's sold as nonfiction, then they said it was fiction. About 80% of that is absolutely true, and Leslie Watkins, who wrote it, will verify it for you. Get that book from Tom if you want it. It's hard to get. He got 100 copies from Canada. And on broadcast, I've done a lot of tapes on this, broadcast number 394, this is June 1979. This has to do with the space colonies that Mr. Senecas and the Otto von Bolschwing-Gehlen network are going to build. Tom has those. They are $4.95. A 6% tax in California for the book on, I think it's a dollar for the postage, Alternative 3. They're very, very rare, and he did get 100 copies. So the first 100 people that want that book, I have his address on the sheet here, and you can write, if you want to write it down, it's P.O. Box 1107, Aptos, California, 95003. Read Alternative 3 and then appreciate that Mr. Senecas and Ronald Reagan and the heritage of Otto von Bolschwing is indeed operable, and they are the people who are going to build these space stations. Now, Jack Anderson did part 3 and 4 on his death squads. He's been doing a magnificent job. He had 3 important articles this week. I shared with you part 1 and 2. This week he had part 3. Squads unstoppable with a question mark, and he says that Ronald Reagan would like to stamp out the death squads, which is a lie, and I can prove that to you in about 1 minute. He says our CIA set up the death squads and to overthrow Mr. Arbenz in 1954 in Guatemala, which is true, and they also began in 1953. I wrote about that in The Rebel, how they were formed. The CIA continues to maintain contacts with the death squads, and he tells about their work in El Salvador and their work with the World Anti-Communist League and how they tied in with the world Nazis and continue. All the members of the organizations in El Salvador and Guatemala are tied into the president down there, and Ronald Reagan over the table says he wants them stopped, but I doubt they can be stopped. And as I say, if I put a black dot after every name on the bibliography that comes with this program of people killed, you realize that they're very active in this country. Part 4 on his CIA terrorist bankroll, he talks about Mario Sandoval Alarcon, A-L-A-R-C-O-N, who's the CIA protege who runs the squads for the National Liberation Movement, headed by the CIA. He repeats again for the 4th time, and for a reason he's doing this. Jack Anderson doesn't repeat many articles. This is part 4 of those death squads that began down there in Guatemala, and how the CIA continues to provide secret funding to Sandoval, who works with the World Anti-Communist League. And again, that was Schlumberger and Double Check and Guy Bannister and Robert Mayhew. Going back to the Kennedy assassination, John Kennedy's death was just part of a worldwide death squad organization, and that's what I wrote about on the anniversary of Kennedy's death for Rebel. Jack Anderson also has an article this week, January 30th, Syrian Army's Drug Traffic, and it tells why they're fighting in Lebanon and the Bekaa Valley, which I've mentioned before. Israel and Syria and Lebanon are fighting for the huge crops of hashish that go out of there, and that's what the territory is about. Nobody wants to give up the huge amount of money, millions of dollars of the hashish and the transferring it to Europe and various countries. And he talks about the heroin and the hashish through Syria to Western capitals and how they supply themselves with guns and profits of the drugs. And the bitter fighting in the Bekaa Valley is not just an ordinary piece of territory, it's rare, and a lot of people need that money. Also, in today's paper, there was a story, Pakistan's War on Heroin. Pakistan accounts for 27% of the heroin entering the United States. That's Henry Kissinger killing Mr. Butto and putting Zia in. Again, bringing the drug traffic to the United States. America is totally getting drugged out of its head, economically dependent upon the drugs. That's one of the things that Hitler wanted, and that's one of the things that Henry Kissinger does so well. Now, speaking of Henry Kissinger and some more deaths, There's a story in the Washington Times. I didn't see it in any other paper. This is the Reverend Moon paper, and I mentioned before to you how important that paper is. Top diplomat stated for Guatemala Post, a man named Harry W. Schlaudeman, S-C-H-L-A-U-D-E-M-A-N, United States diplomat. He's 58 years old. He's worked on every operation where we've had a military coup and the government was deposed. He was the ambassador to Argentina, to Peru, to Venezuela. Of course, Peru when Walter Rauf and Klaus Barbie was down, he's still down there. He was ambassador to these various countries. He was in Dominican Republic in 1965 during the Civil War. He was in Chile when Allende was president, and then Allende was murdered. Schlaudeman travels around at various State Department jobs. He's now been assigned to Guatemala, and the article was saying how important Guatemala is to the president of the United States, that he would put this Schlaudeman, nice German name, S-C-H-L-A-U-D-E-M-A-N, as ambassador to Guatemala. But then I took out, again, the same congressional record that Henry Gonzalez had, September 15th, 1983, and he was complaining that Henry Kissinger's Committee on Central America had for its executive secretary on this bipartisan committee, Harry Slatterman, S-L-A-T-T-E-R-M-A-N, the former ambassador to Argentina, who was the CIA station chief in Chile. So this Slatterman, Harry Slatterman, and Harry W. Schlaudeman, two names, is the same person who's going to go to Guatemala. Goodbye, Guatemalan Indians. Now, here is the point. Ronald Reagan just pushed $6 million worth of helicopter parts for Guatemala. Henry Kissinger's bipartisan commission went down to Central America and is his secretary. He has the CIA station chief from Chile who is behind many assassinations and coups, the Trujillo in the Dominican Republic, Allende, and goodness knows how many people died between these various countries where he was represented, the death squads in Argentina. How come Schlaudeman is one name and he's Slatterman in another name? What is his real name? We have instances I'm going to into next week, not tonight, of these Nazis that changed their names. Is he American-born? Is he German? And how does Henry Kissinger take the CIA station chief on this committee and then allocate the money there? And now he's sending the secretary of his committee to be the ambassador for the poor native population in Guatemala. Guatemala is where the Hinckley family was to move the day after Ronald Reagan was supposed to be killed and George Bush would be president. Now, the same week that they announced that this fellow would be the new ambassador to Guatemala, there was a small article. I bet it's so tiny. It's 1 inch. I'm collecting these small articles and taping them and photocopying pages in subject category because you'll lose them. It says, Assistant U.S. Attaché dies. You'd think a one man died, right? Assistant Guatemala City, January 22nd, 1984. A U.S. Embassy official and 10 Guatemalans died when their Air Force transport plane crashed 15 miles north of the capital city, the U.S. Embassy spokesman said. An assistant military attaché at the U.S. Embassy and 8 members of the Guatemalan Security Intelligence Forces and 2 civilians were killed in the plane crash. So when this bloke goes down to Guatemala, already a team have been killed. You know, this plane went down, so the 10 people, right from the embassy, 8 members of the Guatemalan security and an embassy official went down last week. So on the one hand, you see the article about Mr. Harry Schlaudeman going to Guatemala, and then you see that the attaché, it reads that one person died, which is hardly worth opening your paper these days when you get mass murders of a kind. And then you read it further, and the intelligence system was all cleaned out. So welcome, Mr. Schlaudeman, and come on down to Guatemala. Henry Kissinger is going to have a ball with his secretary from his commission running that country. You know what to expect from that. There's just no fair play or fairness in representing the people down there to have a shake. Now, one quick thing I just want to mention. I don't know if it's worth mentioning or not, but I think it is, and I will. I subscribe to KQED. It's a public sponsored radio TV station in San Francisco that has non-commercial plays and operas and symphonies and so forth. And the magazine cover came this week, February. It's called Focus, and it came And on the cover is supposed to be a Valentine dessert. It's a white plate with a white heart, and the heart, you can't see the heart because the white's on the white, unless you look carefully, is split in the middle, and there's chocolate in the middle, and it looks like the signal of the SS. If you turn it 3 inches to the right, the zigzag is the SS, and then down below the white heart is this red sauce split. It doesn't join itself. And to me, it looked the colors of the Nazi. There wasn't anything. This magazine cover was brown, red, and white. And I called up Focus and said, who in the heck designed this cover? And this next day in the San Francisco Examiner, there was a picture of the SS. In that's what made me call. There was a demonstration against Chancellor Kohl in visiting Israel. And people from the concentration camps had on their clothes, and they had signs of the SS saying, never again, Kohl. And there was the SS insignia in the San Francisco Examiner, January 25th. And I put them side by side, and I was simply furious. I have the address and the phone number for those of you who get this tape. If you want to call and ask a reprint or to see that or go to your library, it is terribly obnoxious. And the magazine said the photo is by Terry Hefferman, H-E-F-F-E-R-M-A-N, not Joe Smith, Mr. Hefferman. I was simply furious. I wonder, with subliminal suggestion, this isn't even subliminal, how far these people are going to go, or if they think we're really crazy, or are you going to get used to the SS? You remember, or maybe you don't remember, that this last October, you saw after a five-day invasion and the press was allowed to see Grenada, that they were wearing the Nazi helmets. The United States war helmet is now the Nazi helmet. It's a one-piece Nazi helmet, what they wore under Adolf Hitler. And if you like your magazine covers with the SS on them and a simulated cherry sauce underneath that looks like blood with the same colors, it really offended me. And I just wonder, what is the bottom line and how much is Mr. Hefferman going to do? And do you want to put up with it? I don't really want to. Now, there was a picture of Mrs. Beat Clarsfield, and I want to talk about her and some of her work for the remainder of this program and some of the things she's done in relationship to work that I've done. There was a picture of her down in Chile this last week, and she took a can of blood, it looked like blood, red paint, and threw it over the house or the door of Walter Ralph Lives. Now, this woman is the first person that I have really admired. You say, who are your heroes? And I like to ask people who their heroes are. I have a new hero, a heroine, And I'm going to take some of the things that she's doing and incorporate them into my work. I'm going to follow what Beat Clarsfield has done and go one step further. I really would like to put together as much evidence as I have on Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger, get a dossier, and I'll tell you what she did in Europe and what she's doing, and go to Washington. The time has come to go to Mr. Graham and Fritz Kramer's offices and throw paint on them and smear them and go to their homes and find out where these people are living and call attention to them. And is Mr. Fritz Kramer, in fact, Hitler's Fritz Kramer or a different Fritz Kramer? The only way I'm going to find out is get to Washington. She had to leave home base to find out what was going on. She's made trips to Chile. She has more guts, and to Bolivia and to the German Congress, where she slapped the face of Kurt Kissinger. We'll go into that. And she was arrested. Then she pulled out his Nazi dossier and explained who he was. I think the time comes that you have to really meet these people eyeball to eyeball and let the press know that they can't suppress who these people are that are bringing us to World War III and the horrors of war that accompany it. Now, there was a story that came out last week about Walter Ralph, now 72 years old. He signed an affidavit for having killed a minimum of 97,000 Jews. He built the mobile gas vans that corded them away. He walked out of an American prison like Otto Skorzeny in 1946. The most dangerous man in Europe walked out of American custody. So did Walter Ralph. He was in Syria, in Damascus, Syria, with Grand Mufti, I guess Hitler's buddy over there. And then Ecuador, 9 years, and moved to Chile. The man who helped him get out of the camp was a Dr. Willie Nix. And when the Italian police were on his heels, Mr. Nix hid in the Vatican. They're trying to say the Vatican wasn't responsible for Walter Ralph. He hid in the Vatican so that they couldn't help him. The report of Vincent La Vista, L.A., then V-I-S-T-A, came out in 1947 about the details of how the Nazi war criminals were taken into the Catholic Church and escorted and protected. Now, the article about Walter Rauff is just one more Nazi. You may say to yourself, how many Nazis are we going to hear about, like Klaus Barbie or Martin Bormann or Joseph Mengele or Walter Rauff? Would you believe that there's 100,000 top Nazis that the Vatican alone has helped, you know, document, helped them leave, top Nazis with hundreds of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions in 1946, not cash, not just pieces of cloth. Now, the excuse of the Vatican, according to the La Vista report, in letting Rauff out was that they had a desire, in quotes, to infiltrate not only European countries but Latin American countries as well with their political beliefs. As long as they were anti-communist and pro-Catholic, they let these people out. We'll take a break now for 1 minute, and then I'll get back to that subject.